Thank you, brother, for those words here this evening. That's so true. May we, each one of us, are making choices day by day, minute by minute. And what we do with what we heard here is determining where we are going. And one thing sure, you will not stay in the middle of the road. It's either this way or this way. None of this. So, dear friend, here this evening, what our brother was saying, take it to heart. Paul said it at another place too. He said, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, what does he say after that? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it if you let him. We'll continue on from last night. And that is the spirit that we want to bring this message. And also, as we think about ourselves, that's where we want to be as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's the title of the message this evening, Ye Fathers. Paul here, as he said, Ye Fathers, I believe it's a title of tenderness, a title of a high calling. And what a calling it is. What a responsibility. What a joy. What a blessing to be a father. And with what Jesus has done for us, he tells us in Romans chapter 12, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. And it's our reasonable service tonight to do what our brother said. Go for the things that are excellent in fatherhood. And that, I believe, is where the buck stops. Till us fathers get on fire, till us fathers get revival, till us fathers are set ablaze, don't look for it in your family. Fathers are the primary authority in our child's life, and children have a tendency to look up to their fathers as a God-given instinct, the little ones. They look up to us like we don't do nothing wrong. We fail them, we goof, we sidestep, we treat them in a harsh way, or we're short with them, and they keep right on loving us like nothing ever happened. Now, once they get older, that changes. But still, in the young ones, there's a God-given instinct for children to look up to their fathers. And what a glorious thing that is. But tonight, dads, we're the ones that God holds responsible. We're the ones where the buck stops. We're the ones that God holds accountable.
It's me. And it's you.
You come before the throne room and you give an account of your life. What will you say when God asks you how you did with your children? Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And at the onset here, dear people, don't fall into the world's trap of limiting your family. The Bible says you are blessed and happy if your quiver is full. If you're going to try and limit what God wants to do with your family, I think we're bringing on the doctrine and thinking of the world and tonight, do not say they are a bother. The world, they want two. They want a son and they want a daughter and then they want to stop because they're a bother. Tonight, children are not a bother. Don't let the flesh get in the way of what God wants to do with your home and a family. Because lo, it says, children are an heritage of the Lord. And you want to be rewarded this evening? The fruit of the womb is God's reward. That's what the Bible says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And God had to overhaul me in this thing. I got married. We got married and it was all flesh. I wanted to live it up. I wanted to go to the parties and weekend it and do all kinds of things and satisfy the desires without raising children. God had other plans. We had a son 10 months after we were born. And I'm thankful today. And we want a couple and that is it. And we're going to hit 40. And we're going to make sure that we're going to time to get on with life while the Lord had other plans. We've had two. Since my wife is 40. And tonight I'm thankful. And children are a blessing. And one of the greatest things that God can give us on this side of eternity, and then we think we can do better than He can. God have mercy on our souls. Brother said, and I heard it here, I had heard it, it's not from me, I had heard it here about a year ago, but I just heard it the other night. He was at a seminar somewhere, and the fellow said, how can we grab the Great Commission and go with that when we do not want to fulfill the First Commission? And the First Commission is be fruitful and multiply. That's the first commission that God has given in Holy Writ back there in Genesis. And we think we can do it better. And I think that fella was so right. So fathers, God needs holy families these days. God needs a holy seed. God needs, back there in Malachi, why does He want one man and one woman? Did He not make one, it says in 15, yet He had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that He might seek a godly seed? And tonight, that is what the Lord needs. In this day and age, He needs godly families. The world, as the world is fast going downhill, don't blame the world. Go back to the church. Don't blame the church. Go back to the families and let it stop with the fathers. That's where the buck stops. And Lord, have mercy on us. Daddy, will You be there for me when I wake up in the night? When I cannot close my eyes and sleep, will You rock me, hold me tight? Will You drive my tractor on the floor, pitch my balls and push my swing? May I come to You with broken toys? Will You mend my broken things? Will You be there? Will You love my mommy, hug me every day? Daddy, will You be home at night and teach me how to pray? When You come from work at night, Daddy, then I want You here. There are problems that are big to me. Will You stop and give Your ear? I don't care if You are rich or poor. I just want to have Your heart. I just want to know that You're my friend. I will try to do my part. Will You be there when I have a problem and I need to share? Daddy, will You be there for me? Will You really care? Daddy, will You be there for me when I need someone to care? When I face this life's complexities and I'm ready to despair? Am I more to You than anything? Do You love me? I'm Your child. May I come to You with broken dreams when I'm broken and defiled? Will You be there? Will You guide me? Will You help me to forgive? Daddy, will You be there for me and teach me how to live? Daddy, will You be there for me when I face life's setting sun? When I stand before the judgment seat, will I hear these words, well done? Will You have taught me right from wrong? Will Your teaching stand the test? Will I enter into heaven's land with my Lord forever blessed? I'm depending on You, Daddy, and I hope You understand. Daddy, You are my gift from God. Need me hold my hand. Will our teaching stand the test? One of these nights, Lord willing, we're going to talk on perpetual Christianity. And that's exactly right. What we're doing with the little ones today is going to mean what's going to happen with the next generation. And tonight, God did not save us to bring us out into some glorious thing of some kind, some glorious experience, and have the next generation slide right back to where we come from. The Lord did not save us for that. To go back sliding out into the world of alcohol and drugs. And first of all, it starts with the world. That's where it starts. The Lord, the devil's not going to come and take us and take our children right back into drugs and alcohol. But He takes us, and hopefully one of these nights we can give you a little bit of guidance on what the world is. So you can guide and train and teach your children so the next generation can get some principles wrote on their hearts. So you know how to make choices, brother, that are excellent. And the next generation can grab the hands of the plow and go. But that's, let's look at our own hearts here tonight. Young people, if you're going to be a dad someday, look at your own heart here this evening. First of all, we are going to have to deal with the garden curse. We're going to have to deal with that curse that came upon man. Turn with me back there in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And sisters, you will have to deal with it yourself. Because of the curse that came from sin, we till the garden, we till the land, thorns and thistles have come up and herbs and the sweat of the face, we're going to have to eat bread. And for out of the ground we were taken in 19, and dust we are, and to dust we will return. Verse 16 is what we want. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Right there we see tonight where so many women usurp their place, usurp their role, and their desire is to their husband, but they must submit. And then to us husbands, the easy thing for us to do is to go into passivity. And the other thing that is easy to fall into from the curse of the garden is procrastination. And here our poor wives are wishing we would get with it. They're ready to go on for God. And here we are being passive. What is passive? It's lacking in energy or will. It's tending not to take an active or dominant part. And what is procrastination? To put off intentionally and habitually. To put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. And I know I'm a father too, and I stand up here tonight not having it all together. And I know these tendencies. These here things that come, that are easy to fall to and not take our responsibility and step up to the plate. And it's easy to go into passivity. It's easy to go into procrastination. It's easy to push things over on our wives and expect them to hopefully come through. It's easy to do those things. And it's a thing that we have to deal with the garden curse. And then we also have this one. Adam debility. There's a disease in the land. It's called Adam debility. What is debility? It's weakness. It's feebleness. It's languor of bodies. And it's faintness. And dear fathers, because of the love of God, deal with Adam debility. In one moment I'll take you there. But first I want to go to Isaiah chapter 3 verse 1. For behold the Lord... The Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem, from Judah, the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes and babes shall rule over them. And people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Ain't that a picture of America? Ain't that a picture of what is going on? The mighty man... The man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and in this a picture of what's going on in the churches. Because men, We're not stepping up to the plate and taking our responsibilities the way we're supposed to be. While the church is the way they are, I believe it goes back to the men. I believe it goes back to the fathers. I believe it goes back to us dads. That's where the buck stops. And help us today that us dads would repent where we need to repent and go forward with everything we have. Now let's see what this Adam's ability is. Go back to Genesis 3 verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And dear brother, this is what's happening in so many places today. The children, the wives, they come. They come with these things. And we don't do like our brother said. We don't prove and we don't take the things that are excellent. And we just slide right on. Here comes a new magazine. Nothing wrong with that. Here comes a new fad. There's nothing wrong with that. We ride like Adam! Prove things that are excellent, the Bible says. That's what our brother read there in Philippians chapter 2. And here we are, here comes approved things that are excellent. Exactly right. And here they come. Here they come with some fruit. And what did Adam do? Here comes his wife with fruit. And instead of saying, "Dear Eve, hold it. Dear Eve, stop. Stop right now. That new, the way you're making that dress, hold it, it's of the world." No. We're right like Adam. And we grab it and we say yes. Nothing wrong with that. Brothers, Lord help us. We owe it to our families to be charting a course. We owe it to our families to be making decisions and making choices. And we'll find out another night what how this thing is moving so fast. That's we are the ones that need the passion for Christ. We're the ones. We're the ones that are going to have to lift the standard up. We're going to be the ones that God's going to hold us accountable. That we're charting the course. And our passion for Christ is alive and it's burning. And it's hot. We must be mighty in spirit. Jesus was. We can too. Turn to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. This is Jesus' testimony even when he was young. And it's, I think the Lord, this is what he wants us to be also. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. This is actually John the Baptist, that was. John the Baptist was strong in spirit. And he was in the desert till the day of his shewing unto Israel. And then Luke 2 verse 40, same thing. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Dear brother, here this evening, we must lead the way in being strong in spirit. We must lead the way in being on fire for the Lord Jesus. And how do we be strong in spirit? And how do we? Getting in the presence of God on a daily basis. It's how we are scared to be strong in spirit. How much time do you spend in the presence of the Lord? How do you get to know somebody? By spending time with them. You know, You get to know your wife by spending time with her. That's how you get to know the Lord. That's how you get to approve things that are excellent. By spending time with God. Does God miss you? Being mighty in spirit is part of the passion for Christ. And we develop our time in the presence of God. We develop that and we nurture it. And we bring it to a glowing ember in our lives. We had to fear the Lord Monday night. That's part of being mighty in spirit. Having the reverence and holiness of God. Knowing the heights and depths of God's love. We had that last night. And that should be burning and alive in us. That's part of the presence of God in our lives and being mighty in spirit. And encouraging spiritual growth in others. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 11:23. Acts 11:23 says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad," Barnabas here, coming to Antioch, "exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." And this day and age, if you don't have purpose, you're going to be a leaf in the wind. You need purpose today. With all these things going on in our lives, if there's no purpose, if you don't, what is purpose? That which a perfect person sets before him as an object to be reached or accomplished. The end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. That's purpose. And what is your purpose in life? And what is your purpose for your children? Is your purpose that they would do like it tells us there in Malachi 3? That God, that there would come forth a godly seed that would be going on and propagating the truth in this world? Or is your purpose just to go with things as they come, and if our days get filled up and before you know it, we go to bed, we fall into bed plumb tired and wore out, and the purpose of raising a godly seed done went by the wayside that day again? And here we are, these children are growing up, and our purpose of heart to serve the Lord, and a big part of that is our families, went by the way again another day. He tells us too there, when he had seen the grace of God, and a passion for Christ, the next thing is to be strong in grace. What is grace? But it's a divine influence on the heart. That has an effect on the life. That's what grace is. And we must be strong in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Now, how does grace come? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:5. We want to be strong in the grace of God. Well, here in 1 Peter 5:5 it says, "Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." That's how grace comes. Grace comes as we continue to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. And one of the things of being humble is when we fail, our wife and our children, we are willing to say, "I was wrong." We are willing to go to them and say, "I was wrong. Can you forgive me?" When's the last time you went to your child or your wife, said, I was wrong. Your conscience is sensitive. It's not dull of hearing, but no, it's sensitive. And I was wrong. And there was humble pie, and the grace of God is flowing. That's what we need. That's what we need. Moms, you need that too. And we had the second night strong in faith. But let's go to Hebrews 11 for just something here that stir our heart again. Hebrews 11, chapter verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And dear friend here tonight, with all the things that are shaking and moving in this country and in the world as a whole, we have warnings in the Bible of things that will be coming. Noah here was warned, moving with reverential worship. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What are you doing for your children that you will know that they'll be able to be kept safe when the deluge comes, when the flood floods this earth, the flood of worldliness and sin, which is going on right before our eyes? Prepare an ark, brother, for the saving of your house. And I know tonight the picture of the ark is Jesus Christ. We've got to get in the ark. That's conversion. We have to get in there for sure. We'll never make it if we don't get in the ark ourselves, Jesus Christ. But then we must be preparing an ark, and maybe we'll have more of that some other night. Dear Noah, his dad was Lamech, his grandpa was Methuselah, and his great-great-grandpa was Enoch. And praise God, down on through it come, he got the call from God that the earth is going to be destroyed by a flood. Never happened in all of history. And he followed God and said, I'm building an ark. It's coming. God said it. That settles it. I'm building an ark because I'm concerned about my family. Dad, we are responsible for the spiritual temperature in our houses. Not our wives. We are. How's the spiritual temperature in our wives? How's the spiritual temperature in our children? How's the spiritual temperature in the young people? We're the ones God is holding accountable of how that is. In Leviticus 6:13, just read that the other day, blessed again. Here in the tabernacle, they had the altar. I think it was the burnt offering altar. And verse 13, it tells us that the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And the altar in our home, is it burning? Is it on fire? Is the altar alive? Is there a fire there day by day? Or is the thing, we have to look in the ashes to find a warm ember and God wants to have that fire burning bright. The altar in our homes, never going out. The altar of prayer. The altar of the fresh word from God. The altar of sacrifice. We're the ones that make the spiritual decisions. And dads, I know sometimes we wish we could stick our heads in the sand. We wish we wouldn't have to make another decision. Life is coming at us so fast we hardly can keep up. And then sometimes we wish we could just go and be like an ostrich and go back there in the sand and bury our head and let life go by. But it's not like that. And so that, we got to go to God. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us daily. Dear brother, Ephesians chapter 5, our children need to see that we love their mama. There's thousands, millions of children in this age. They don't see that daddy loves mama. They don't see that. And then tonight, it's not a mushy love that's sensual. That's not what our children need to see. But our children need to see that we love mom. There's a commitment there. They can lay their head on their pillow at night knowing tomorrow morning, dad's going to be there loving my mama. And I don't have to worry that they're going to be divorced. And hear this, land. Let the children see you love mama. Let the children see it. You help her. You help her with the dishes. You help her with the training the children. Well, we're supposed to be taking responsibility and leadership in that. They should be helping us. But dear brother, pray with your wives. Pray with them. That your prayers be not hindered, he tells us in 1 Peter 3. Pray with your wives. And dear brother, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Praise the name of the Lord. It profits you by loving your wife. And dear brother, love your wife. Love her. Agape love. The love that's sacrificial. Number 26, I believe it is, in the Strong's Concordance. That love. Dads, we must be pure. This day and age, this is where Joseph shined. But dear brother, whoever you are sitting here, with the age of information right at our tips, being able to see something new and what's going on right at our fingertips, right when we want it, with all the advertisements that come across, be ye pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And with all the advertisements that are going on, this here part of is a billion-dollar business here in the United States alone. The adultery and this here promiscuity and some of these things, it's big stuff here in the United States of America. And I believe the devil uses it to bring many people down. That's what made David fall. That's what made Samson fall. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed sin already with her in his heart, the Bible says. Make sure I quoted that right. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And the need for purity in this day and age is so vital. Be ye pure. Psalms 24 verse 4. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul up unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You want to see God? You must have clean hands. You must have a pure heart. You must not live your soul up unto vanity. And you must not swear deceitfully. Then you can see God. If those things are in your life, repent. Confess. Cleanse. Get rid of it. So that you can see God and ascend to the hill of the Lord. Approve things that are excellent. Purity. And then we need it in our homes. That we are watching over our children. That we're careful how they sleep with one another. That we watch over that there's when they get ready. And we're watching and making sure that things that are happening in the home are pure. And there's no appearance of evil, the Bible says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Purity. It's of utmost importance. That's why we keep the girls, even the little girls, with their little bloomers. You keep their legs covered because you're wanting purity. And here this evening, Lord, help us. Help us to be pure. A pure heart. And dear young people even, we're speaking to the dads, but if there is a struggle going on in your heart with purity, be honest and real and open your heart up, because you want to get a hold of that thing when you're young. And praise the Lord, you can. There is grace available. And I know many young people that had a struggle. They come when God spoke. They came. They opened their heart. Today, they made it through. You can too. But if there is struggle with purity, be honest and open your heart. You ain't going to get victory by keeping your mouth shut. Now, we had read 1 Peter 5:5. And we see in how grace comes as we humble ourselves. But it tells us there in the beginning, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And then also we have this verse over in Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then we have these verses over in Ephesians 5 that tell us, Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And dear brothers and sisters here this evening, to be in authority, you must be under authority. It's a principle in the Word of God. And if we are going to take that lightly, and you're going to try and give direction to young people, it's not going to work. It's going to crash. It's going to clash. And same with sisters, mothers in this room, submitting to your husbands in the fear of God. Because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And I know, husbands, that puts a great responsibility on us. We do not lead by authoritarian, dictative, pushing her around like a little ball of some kind. No, she's sort of like a rib taken out of our side, and we keep her here right under our arm, and we bring her along with us. But here tonight, the point to us dads is being under authority. And if the brotherhood is making decisions, then follow. Bow to it and go for it. Don't chafe, because you're not going to raise a godly seed. I could not say it strong enough, I don't think. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. We must have turned hearts. Hearts that are turned to our children. Where's your heart turned this evening? Where is it turned? Remember the law of the Lord, verse 4, my servant, which I commanded unto you, him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Where is your heart turned here tonight? What is the heart? It's the widely used for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. In other words, it's the center of your being, is what the heart is. And it needs to be turned. It's the seat of the affections. Why do children run away from homes? Many times I believe you can trace it back to a turned heart of a father. Our hearts need to stay at home. Why should we leave it up to our wives? Where's your heart turned this evening? Where is your heart on your children? Is your heart at home? Or is it filled up with full of other things? Used to sing this song when I was little, and it's talking about death. But it says, Daddy, I'm lonesome since you went away to a place that was better, you say. I don't understand why you had to go. Daddy, I miss you at home. Now, you might be living tonight. Would that be what your children would say about you? Daddy, I miss you at home. Your hobbies were special. They took up your time. The verse that we made up here. Your work was a hindrance from truth to make mine. The leading but to God was awfully slow. Daddy, I miss you at home. There's many things that can grab a man's heart tonight. Debt. In this age of affluence, in this age of getting ahead, in this age of keeping up with the Joneses, big debt. I'm not against debt, but the big debt that drowns us and makes us and grips us here by the throat. And it keeps us from being able to serve God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God don't want you to be there. I'm appalled. These new businesses that start up and how far people go down into debt so they can have the best, the newest, and the greatest. There's nothing wrong with having something that's going to work good. And it's something that is new that's going to serve you for many years. But to go deep down into debt when you're young and put yourself there that you are bound, that's not God's heart. It'll take your heart to trying to get out of that debt instead of keeping your heart at home. And tonight, it's a snare to a bunch of people. A snare to a bunch of young dads. Hobbies. Recreation. Those things have me bound. Those things had me in their grip. I couldn't get loose. I didn't have no time for my home because I was full of recreation and I was full of hobbies. And then what? I needed to work overtime so that I could keep up because someday I wanted to have that thing that cost $100,000 so we could go out and serve the flesh and keep up with the latest and newest on that. Talking with a brother here the other night. Horses has many hearts bound up. Other thing that turns to the heart is reputation. What will people think of me? Where am I at? What are people going to think? I got this business. And it's corporate America. Are you stuck on the sandbar of materialism this evening? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, yes. 1 Corinthians 11, 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not sure tonight how many men have put away childish things. I'm not sure. They say you can tell a man from a boy by the price of his toys. It should not be named that way among the Christian church. There's no difference. Boots and cars and trucks and big hunting trips and recreation, and Luke 16:15 tells us. Luke 16:15. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Is that what? And then also in Matthew 12:34 it tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So tonight, all you have to do is check what's coming out of here. When you fellowship with somebody, when you share with somebody, what is coming out of here? That tells you what's in here. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing. But if you're full of Jesus, that's what comes out. But if you're not, what comes out? What's in here comes out. What's in here comes out. Many things today that are highly esteemed among men are abomination in the sight of God. Dads, a turned heart. You know what the children need? T-I-M-E. Time. Little children need our time. Young people need our time. Our children today need families to do things together. Not that there's something going with the youth every night of the week and they're off running around with the young people. No, we need to bind together as families. They don't need to be running with friends all the time. I remember Brother Denny, when we got God worked on our hearts on this thing and it gripped us. He said, you have a baby, you got a 20-year commitment. And that's what we took. And that's what we believe yet today. You're hanging in there for 20 years. This 16-year-old stuff running around. This 16-year-old stuff being with their friends all the time. I don't think it's of the Lord. I don't think it's proving things that are excellent. Dear friend, brother, sister here tonight. Our children need to think of them as important. They need to know that we love them. The message from last night. That's what our children need from us. And dear friend, we need to discipline. That's us. We want to go away. We want to sip around that thing. We wish there'd be another way. The time that it takes to discipline. The time that it takes to train and nurture. No, don't. Don't procrastinate. Don't be passive. Please, you owe it to your children. That's part of the love. Yes, we give them 10 to 1, but we still have to follow God's word. Children today, they need direction. Talking with one of the brothers here at the beginning of the week. When he was young, and they sat around the table, and they discussed everything. All the decisions that are ready to be made, they discussed them. Today, the young person gets up in the 16, 15, even smaller, and they don't sit there and discuss. They start discussing with their peers and making their decisions instead of the family staying together as a unit and going forward that way. The children, they need direction. We owe it to them. We don't need them out there bouncing around like a ball in a four square. Boom, 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 boom. No, Dad. Take your place. Stand up and be a dad. Stand up and be a father. And make sure that's not happening, that they're out there being slapped all over the place. And here they are today, they can't get their moorings. I was into that rock music, had a hold of my heart, and I had a dad. I didn't think was very spiritual, and how, but he had enough of wisdom and enough of knowledge to spend time with me. And he took me Saturdays, and we'd go to northern Pennsylvania to the mountains. He was spending time with me, and then he started taking my rock tapes, and he started taking them and taping a cappella Christian music on there instead. And I listened, because he was spending time with me. If he wouldn't have spent time with me, I wouldn't have took him destroying my rock tapes like that. But that was one of those things that had to go in the barrel when I met Jesus. My rock music had to go in here. And dear friend here tonight, Dad, spend time with your children. That's how you can take them and train them and guide them and take them where they need to be. By the way, that's what these barrels are for. If we get a little more practical, and there's things that probably in here, there's no rock music is so far out there, but the contemporary Christian rock or the contemporary music, Dad, it's up to us to know what is being listened to in our homes. It's up to us to know what is being played in the cars. That's where the responsibility stops. That's where the buck stops. We must, and that takes us right into our next point, we must be watchmen on the wall. Isaiah 62, verse 6. Don't rely on the preachers to do this stuff. It's up to the dads. Yes, they give encouragement and shepherd and those things. But dads, we're the ones that are responsible in our homes. And he tells us here in Isaiah 62 verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And Ezekiel 33, 3 to 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. What is a watchman? But it's somebody that's sitting out here looking. And it's somebody that can see that down there there's lights. And the ones down here on the lower, they can't see. God is requiring that of you, Dad, to be a watchman. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He had a long-term vision. And that's what each of us dads here need tonight. We can live in the today. We live in the today and now. What's your vision like? Is it 2020? You can see as clear here or as clear here as you can a mile down the road. That's what we need. 2020 vision. Dads, pops, fathers, we need 2020 vision. We got to live in the today and now, but we also got to see in the future. We can't just be living in the today and now. And then we make all these decisions, and 2 years later we got to backpedal and backtrack and try and change this thing because we made some wrong decisions. Dads, be on guard of the foolishness in your homes. And also the thrill level of your children. They don't need the latest and greatest toy. A quiet home is a blessing. A quiet home, I think we can is an enjoyment. And the Bible says there's peace. And I think our homes can be at peace too. I talked a little bit about music, dads. What about, do you know what's going on the computer as a watchman? Do you know what's happening? I don't know computer games. That is off limits. I don't know what you do, but if you do allow computer games, be very careful. But for me, those things are off limits. Barbie and her spirit in the toys, get rid of it. You don't need it. Videos. Careful, dads. We got these cameras today, and it's easy to snap videos. And soon it can be luring us right into, we have them, but that's where it stops drama. Soon the thrill level and what the children want to see, they aren't satisfied. And to even listen to CDs of preaching, that's not good enough. We need videos anymore. Books. Do they uphold what you believe? Even in the school books. Take, for instance, Becca. There's children in there with shorts and things like that. Do you wear those things? The books that you have in your home, do they uphold what you believe? What you allow to see is what you believe. Not what you believe and what you allow. It goes the other way around. Novels. Even in these Christian magazines today, I'm appalled at these love stories that are coming out in the name of Christian. Steer clear. Don't go near the stuff. Christian romance novels. Oh, dear dad. Be alert. Be a watchman in your home. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. You probably all know where it's going, who it is. He had the thing that Adam had. For I told him that I will judge his house forever. Lord, talking to Samuel here about Eli. Which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vow and he restrained them not. Dear Father, learn how to say no. It's not an easy thing to do when everybody else is crying out for yes. But you can learn how to do that. You can learn how to say no. You can learn how to do it in a kind, loving way. And your children will respect you for it. Many people I know that thought their parents were too hard when they, quote, knew it all, come back today and say they wish their parents would have given them more direction. And I think here this evening, that's the cry of the young people's heart. They don't want to be rebellious. They don't want to be chafing. They don't want to be a thorn in the side of the church. All they need is direction. And if you spend time with them and have a good family relationship, it can work. What did God say about Abraham in Genesis 18? God said this about Abraham. Can He say it about you? Can He say it about you? 18 and 19. Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will commend his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Can the Lord say that of you? I know him. He will command his children after him. A faithful man is what we need. Faithful men is what we need in the society today. Faithful brothers, faithful fathers, faithful grandpas, faithful. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. And then we also have Psalms 112, 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be... These are promises. Brother, latch on to him and grab him and run with him. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's a promise. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That's somebody that's approving things that are excellent. That's what he's doing. He's delighting greatly in the Lord. And in the commandments of the... Not just in the Lord, but in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. One more yet. In Proverbs 20, verse 7. Tells us here, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Stay men of integrity, brothers. A just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So here we are this evening. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And remember the message from last night. The attribute of God, that's love, that comes upon us, no matter who we are. And parents, husbands, wives, we operate under that sphere. But we don't stick our head in the sand and hope that everything will turn out all right. God gives us direction. He's holding us accountable. We are responsible. And He wants a godly seed. He wants the world. Instead of this, what's going on, he'd rather have it that there be a godly seed and the church would be getting shining brighter and brighter instead of all the confusion and not knowing which is the church and which is the world today. That's not God's heart. That there's all that confusion and grayness. He wants a holy seed that'll bring glory to His name and raise up another generation and another one. And maybe we'll see that here in a later week. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father in heaven, we come before you here in this evening in the name of Jesus. Lord, what a joy, what a calling, what a responsibility. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy upon us. And we pray that you would lead and guide us here the rest of this night. We pray that you would keep us in your care. And Lord, be with us dads especially, and us moms. That our families, Father, could be a godly seed that you can depend on in coming years. Oh God, we pray for this. We pray that you would have your way and be the potter of these lumps of clay here this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.